Good afternoon. Good to see you. I am very happy to be with you tonight. Very thankful to be here. Very glad that John and Aaron are here with their children. John, you got introduced to our Tunica work today, and we've got a good thing, I think, going, trying to help them. And Tucker, thank you for going this morning and leading singing. Appreciate that work there. It's a very great opportunity for some of you to go sometime and to think about helping and encouraging a small group of people, some great people, but they need help and they need encouragement, and our congregation has decided to help. And so from time to time, there may be an invitation for you to go and encourage you to go. Many of you have been, and we hope that you will go back and be a part of encouraging that group. Now, the title in the bulletin is about life after death. I'm going to tell you everything you ever wanted to know about will we know each other, and will there be some lesser punishment or greater punishment, and some greater blessing and non-greater blessing after life here when we leave this world. And by the time you leave tonight, you will have absolutely no questions about life after death. Don't you wish that were the case? It ain't the case tonight. Talking about life after death, but it's a whole different thing. It's about a message of hope for you and me, as it was for Israel. Israel just didn't do very well. They did not get God's will done often. In fact, they didn't do it so often, God sent them away into captivity. He reminded them time after time. He sent prophet after prophet. They killed the prophets. They would not listen to the teaching and preaching of God's word, and they died. And what is on the screen now is a picture, someone's idea of Israel, as the book of Ezekiel is written, particularly chapter 37. When we take a look at Israel, they are in captivity. It's not a great place to be. Not one of them wanted to be there. Some of them may have prospered in some way, as they had a way of doing that, and yet none of them wanted to be where they were. They're in captivity, but worse than being in physical captivity, they were dead in their sins, spiritually dead. A valley of dry bones. Ezekiel is an unusual prophet in a number of ways. God asked him to do some crazy things. Sometimes ministers are asked to do different things that we wonder about. I don't know if any of the ministers in the room have ever been invited to anoint someone with oil because their faith would lead them, as they read the book of James and perhaps other places, that putting oil on someone could be of some value in helping them in their major illness. We're asked to do some strange things, but I don't know of anybody that have been asked to do some of the unusual things that Ezekiel had to do. These are just a few examples. He had to eat a scroll. I can't imagine how that might have been. I'm hoping it was a scroll written on like a chewing gum wrapper or something like that, but we know that it wasn't. He ate a scroll. He had him make a model of Jerusalem, and to set up that model and then play war games and destroy Jerusalem so that Israel could reenact the destruction of Jerusalem. He had him shave his head and his beard, and even burning his hair as signs of judgment. Those are just a few of the strange things that Ezekiel was asked to do as he is in his ministry while the people of God were in captivity. Now, Ezekiel is taken by God into a valley of dry bones, and he's giving Israel a message of hope. You know, one of the things that the Bible shows us and that God's will shows us is that sometimes what we think is not good can turn out to be good. It's true in our lives. In this case, I don't know of any of us that would necessarily like to be placed in the valley of bones that are supposed to represent your physical family, the people of Israel. These people have died, and all that's left of them is their bones. But God is going to take this scene and this setting and he's going to give Israel a message of hope. But it's also a message of hope for us as we think about our lives. And once again, unless we can make application of the Word of God to ourselves and teach it to other people, it is not going to be of any value at all. Now, these dry bones in this valley where God took Ezekiel, they were a prophetic picture of the spiritual condition of God's people in exile. And they felt like a dead people. Can you imagine what it would be like to be taken out of your hometown, your home country, and into another country, whole different world, a whole different language? God told them one time, I'm going to let you be taken by people that speak a whole different language from you. And they are there. They felt like they were dead, and the nation had truly died spiritually. But they couldn't see the resurrection coming. They felt so dead, they could not see ever being resurrected again. But that's not God's plan. Here's what God says in chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. I will put that within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Those people had been hard-hearted, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and mind. That's the description of Israel a number of times well after this, but it was especially true now. And they had not listened to God's word, and God had let them be taken captive by some people that just were not very nice people. Many of them were killed. Many of them were left in poverty to do what this countrymen wanted them to do back at home. But these were just taken captive because they were people who had ability. They could do things, and they would be used as slaves. So God is saying there is going to be life after death. You can die spiritually, but you can be raised. There's probably at least one person in this room that needs that hope. A person who has let your spiritual life go and you stop thinking about how life ought to be. And if it isn't one of us, it is somebody that we know. Somebody that we could take this message of hope to. If God can give life to a valley of dry bones, why can he not give life to any one of us in a spiritual sense? There are three things I want to share with you. Four, actually, I think, now that I think back about it. That I want to share with you that if you know of someone who needs to be raised from the dead, who needs life after death because of sin entering their lives, these verses teach us what we need. In verses 1 through 3, we're going to see that anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, where they are in life, if they're going to come to life spiritually, they need a divine confrontation. Ours won't be like Ezekiel's. The Spirit took him into a valley of dry bones. Most of us will not be taken in that way unless we're willing to go in our thinking. And we're willing to see ourselves dead. We're willing to see ourselves with no hope, without God, without Christ. Unless we're willing to see that in a divine confrontation with God's Word, we won't do that. But Ezekiel is confronted with the depth of Israel's spiritual condition with a valley of dry bones. What would it take for us in this world to see that as a nation, we are not in good spiritual shape? What would it take? How could we alert the nation to that? How could we give the nation hope for those people who would like to have some hope? There's some that think we're right where we ought to be. But how could we give them hope? Ezekiel is going to learn a great lesson. Here's what they said. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Israel, through the years, if you just go back and you start looking at the way the people of Israel were treated from Egypt on, they knew what it was like to be cut off. Very few of us know little about what it means to be cut off. What if you had no physical blessings from God today, none of us would be alive. We would be a valley of dry bones. We must have the physical blessings of God in order to live. We all eat the food God provides for us. We drink the water God provides for us. We buy with opportunities where we've made money that God has actually provided for us. Everything that we have is from God. But these people had seen Israel rise up when they were happy and serving God. God was using physical Israel to show us what spiritual Israel could be. They came to be a great nation so long as they obeyed God. But they were told, when you disobey, when you do what you want to instead of what you should, you're going to be cut off. They've seen that in their history over and over and over again. Just read the book of Judges. 8 cycles of judgment where Israel would be taken care of by God, and then Israel would go back into sin, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes, as Judges 17 and verse 6 teaches us. And then the last verse in that book teaches us the same thing. And so they would go down. They would be cut off from God's blessing. They knew what that was like. And so they're not saying this in some way that is meaningless. Not just to say, oh, well, we're really down on our luck. We're not as well off as we once were. They knew they were cut off. Now, as we recognize what is being told in this book and what is being told in the New Testament, only God can show us the depth of our depravity in sin. How depraved one is who is living in sin. You see, the thing about it is, I can come to church dressed in a suit and tie, white shirt. Man, I've even got on what folks would think of as dress shoes. Young people would look at it and say, ah, he's an old geezer, he's an old clod. But we can come dressed ideally. We can go to fine restaurants. We can have the finest things in this world and not see ourselves as spiritually depraved. You will never see yourself as in need of God until this divine confrontation with God. When Ezekiel says in chapter 18, the soul that sins, it shall die. Not until we can see ourselves as Israel was seen in this valley of dry bones, can we do what we need to do. And we will not do it on our own. We cannot know what it's like to do that on our own. So number one, if you know of someone who is in that valley of dry bones, spiritually dead, they're going to need a divine confrontation, a confrontation with God. But the second thing they're going to need is they're going to need faith. And they're going to have to declare that faith in some way. Ezekiel is asked by God, Son of man, can these bones live? What do you think? Do you think that God could make all of those bones in that valley? And there are all kinds of pictures. Look at this one. How many bones there are out there? How many people? How much time would it take? How much effort would it take? What would it take to get those bones back together? Flesh, sinew, tying the bones together, flesh on those bones and a skin over that. What would it take? Do you believe that can happen, Ezekiel? Do you believe that it can happen? That's the key today. If you know of anyone who is spiritually depraved, dead in that valley of dry bones, they're going to have to answer to God. It is by faith that we are saved. Now, the Bible is going to tell us there are other things involved, but our faith is going to lead us to do what God said. You won't do anything that you don't trust in. It's hard to believe for some people that being, as some people would say, dunked underwater matters at all. There are people that have asked me several times in my lifetime, what difference was being dunked underwater make? That's not the key at all. It's a faith declaration. It's a declaration in, I believe God can cleanse my sins with the washing of water by the word. That's what God wants, is our declaration of faith. Now, God knows that dry bones can live. He wasn't seeking information. He wasn't going through there. Well, duh, I wonder. That wasn't God at all. What God is wanting from Ezekiel is, what do you think? What do you believe? All of God's people had lost that hope. We're dried up. We're cut off. Ezekiel is going to take to them a declaration of faith, because God is going to show him that these dry bones can live. They didn't think that anything like that would be possible. And as Ezekiel responds, he doesn't say, oh yeah, God, I know you can do that. I've seen all these things through the years that you've done. I believe you can get on the wagon and do that. Ezekiel didn't say that. His confidence seems a little strange. And he says, Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel hadn't witnessed something like this before. God, you alone know. And he's putting it in God's hands. But it isn't going to be long until he's going to see what God can do. And he's going to take that message back to the people. And there's going to be a declaration of the faith that has increased in Ezekiel. You know, Lord, you alone know. God wants them to start believing, not just that it's possible, but that it's coming. You see, do you believe there's life after spiritual death? There's some people that don't believe that. There's some people that want to say, I've done so much, I'm so far away, I've been so bad, I could never be saved by God. Can God put all of the material stuff back on a body and breathe life into it? He can. He can. Can God put spiritual life back in you or me or anyone else, regardless of the sins that they have been involved in? He can. And there's going to have to be a faith declaration that not only can God do it, but will God do it. If we confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, we can be healed. Do you believe that? Are you willing to forgive other people who have done horrible, terrible things, who need to be forgiven, who need to be saved? Do you believe that God can forgive them? Sometimes we're not willing to turn loose and even let God work in their life. We need to believe. God wanted Israel to believe that this life was coming. He's going to breathe life back into this nation. He's going to set them back where they were, and he's going to let them become prominent again. Do you believe that? Do you think it'll actually happen? God wants us believing. And so we're going to need confrontation with God. We're going to need a faith declaration. And then, here's the hard part. There's got to be some preaching. There's got to be some preaching. Surely we can do it with singing. Boy, Jared, good job tonight. Beautiful songs. All of that was so good. But what if we just came and sang, and we 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 sang? We're not going to be doing God's will, first of all, because that's just a part of what God wants us to do. Singing is wonderful. It's beautiful. You can teach. You can encourage. But God chose preaching to save the world. You don't consider yourself a preacher. You better think of yourself as a preacher if you have special people to you who need to hear a biblical proclamation. Because you see, that biblical proclamation may be the very thing that brings them into a confrontation with God and may lead them to a faith declaration. And so there has to be some preaching done if people are going to be raised from the dead spiritually. Otherwise, they are not going to know God's will. It's not about what Roy Sharp thinks. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how much I love you. It's about God's will. And there has to be a biblical proclamation. If you look in verses 4 through 8, here's what God said to Ezekiel. Prophesy, teach, speak my word over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And some of you are sitting there thinking, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. You want to break out into that song, don't you? Well, that's a neat old song, the spiritual, as it was written and as it has been sung through the years. But Ezekiel is told to prophesy over these bones. And those bones are to hear the word of the Lord. You see, that valley of dry bones isn't just a bunch of bones. It's representative of real lives with souls that will never die. I've said it 1,000 times, maybe, no exaggeration. I remember over in Jackson Hospital holding Meg in my arms for the first time, and the overwhelming thought came into my mind, Jan and I have brought a soul into the world that will never die. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about that valley of dry bones. It's not just a gross out picture. It's a picture to help people see the spiritual need that is there. And in order for life to come, there has to be a proclamation of God's word. These bones were told to hear the word of the Lord. And so here's what Ezekiel did. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He did what God said. He spoke the word of the Lord as God said it. Ezekiel wasn't there to give his opinion. He wasn't there just to tell them what he thought. He was there to speak the word of the Lord. And if that's not what preaching is, something's wrong. There may be some words that are not directly scripture, but if they're not directly related to scripture in agreement with that scripture fully and wholly, it is not the preaching that God wants people to hear. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. Now, as we continue to look at this message, as Ezekiel prophesied, as God commanded him to do this biblical proclamation, these dead people need life. And life is in the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They need faith. And that faith is going to bring them to life. And so they need the preaching of the Word of God. Our faith in anything else is of no value. It won't help anybody become dead spiritually. So there has to be a biblical proclamation. And then fourth, there has to be the spiritual inspiration. The spiritual inspiration. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. We need inspiration. And this word is God breathed. It gives life. Life is in the word. The word gives life. We are born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God that lives and abides forever. So we're going to need some inspiration. We're going to need God to come. And in this text, God is going to teach us about his breath. He said, Ezekiel said, as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. In verses 7 and 8, that's a part of what those verses say. Now, God has used his power to put a physical body back together. But there's no life. There's nothing different from there than going to the funeral home and seeing someone in the coffin. Not a thing different. There's a physical body with no life. That's what you and I would have seen had we gone to the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11. And looked in the tomb before Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. We would have seen a body with no life. But God inspired life into that body. And so as we think about what we are doing here, I wish I knew with the PowerPoint, but I don't. So I'm going to leave it alone and just try to tell you, we need inspiration in order to become alive. Have you ever seen someone who really was deeply in sin, who learned the message of God and wanted to be brought alive spiritually? How many people have you seen be baptized? Some of you have seen hundreds. If Ben Flatt were here, he could tell you exactly how many he's done, how many people he's baptized. I can tell you this, as much as I love Ben and as bright as I think he is, there's absolutely no way Ben is going to be able to say, you know, I put that person in the water and I saw the Spirit of God at work breathing life into that dead spiritual body. He can't do it. He won't do it. You see, Nicodemus was a little concerned about being born again. How am I going to be born again? Am I going to go into my mother's womb and be born again in John 3? And then Jesus begins to explain something special happens. And he said, do you know where the wind's coming from? Do you know where it's going? And obviously, we don't know the answer to either one. Oh, we can, well, yeah, the wind's coming out of the southeast, but where did it originate and where is it coming from? And we can say, well, if it's coming out of the southeast, it's going to the northeast, or rather coming out of the southwest, it's going to the northeast. And we can say that, but we don't know where it's going, when it's going to stop, what's going to happen to it. God says that's the way the Spirit works. We don't know exactly what happens in that watery grave of baptism, but we know this. God inspires life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's what will happen? God says it will happen. Do you have the expectation that when someone that you love is baptized into Christ, that God in heaven with His Spirit at work infuses life into that person? Well, we start thinking in that terms, and that's what Ezekiel had to think about when he began to think about God. And so, once again, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into these people, an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. That whole valley of bones came to life. Bone to bone. Put together, sinew together, flesh covered with skin, but a thought right there, and there's nothing of any value at all. It is only when God inspires life, breathes life into that body, that it matters. We're alive physically. Are we alive spiritually? There are four things that are needed tonight if you need to be brought to life. One is that divine confrontation. Confrontation with God. And that comes through His Word. That comes through His people. That comes through the Bride of Christ as we teach and as we encourage people to know God and to live with God. And so we do what we can to encourage people. There has to be that divine confrontation. There has to be a declaration of faith. You're going to have to step out sometime and say, I believe in God. I trust in God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You're going to have to do that. Or someone you love is going to have to do that if they are brought to life spiritually. There has to be a biblical proclamation. There has to be a preaching of the Word of God. That is the only way that we know how we're going to be saved. John 12:48, it is the Word that is going to judge us in that day. And so we need a proclamation of that Word to know how and what is going to judge us. And then God has to do His work. And God will do His work if we do ours. And it's our job to respond to God. And so tonight, that's why we're about to sing this song, to encourage anyone in this room who feels the need for spiritual life to come. Let God work His way in you. And it can only happen when you choose. And so if you know what God would require of you and you can be helped by us, please come as we stand and as we sing.